Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, Nevada's tax maven, Carol Velardo. Plus on the Power Pundit panel today, Bill Brainerd, Chris Wicker, and Greg Crawford. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers, brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park, the resort at Red Hawk, and the Las Vegas Review-Journal and reviewjournal.com.
I can look back, and it doesn't seem that long ago, that I lived in a home that didn't have hot water.
Harry Reid saw some difficult days. The son of a hard rock miner, Harry Reid hitchhiked 40 miles to high school, worked his way through college as a janitor, and law school as a cop. But as tough as it got, he never backed down. When the mob tried to take over Vegas, Harry Reid took them on and didn't blink, even when they put a bomb in the family station wagon. It's the same determination he's using today as Senate leader to get Nevada's economy back on track.
I know that people in Nevada are struggling. I think of this every day.
That's why he passed clean energy tax credits that will create 41,000 jobs, stopped the banks from shutting down City Center, saving 20,000 more, and delivered over $100 million to keep Nevada cops and teachers working.
You know, it's never easy, but we've got the people and the resources to come back stronger than ever.
Harry Reid, determination that makes a difference.
I'm Harry Reid, and I approve this message.
Murrieta's Restaurant and Cantina offers the greatest Mexican food, now with two locations, one at 3060 Vista Boulevard in Sparks, the other on South Virginia in Reno, right next to In-N-Out Burger. Enjoy two-for-one drink specials from 3 to 6 p.m. every Monday through Friday, and 99-cent tacos from 2 to 5 p.m. Mexican and American-style breakfast is served on weekends beginning at 10 a.m., and their chorizo and eggs for just $4.99 is the best deal in town. Murrieta's, the best Mexican food this side of the border.
Discover a place where entrees are served free of distractions. Wine Spectator has.
Enjoy great contemporary cuisine at David's Grill at Red Hawk.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, who knew Carol Velardo was a fan of the trucking industry? We're down here covering the convention. She happened to be here, so we're going to interview her. Pleasure to have you back on the program,
thank
as
you.
Always.
Well, Carol, I'm a big fan of yours, too, so thank you for being here, supporting us in Las Vegas. You know, one of the things that is being discussed right now is a tax study before the next legislative session, and they're putting together a vision stakeholders group to help the legislature as they matriculate through this process. What do you think the end result of this tax study is going to be, considering what we've done before?
I don't have a clue. And seriously, the tax study itself, you know, the tax study is more than a tax study, and you said it, it's a vision stakeholders group with how we want Nevada to be in 5 years, 10 years, and 20 years. And that's interesting because a vision is in the eye of the beholder. If I'm a senior, which I am, you know, I may want the emphasis to be on healthcare. If I'm raising young children, it's going to be education and parks. I'm concerned that we didn't ask them to establish priorities for services that must be provided to the residents, that the residents could not otherwise provide for themselves. Roads, public safety, police, fire, the education type issues, although there'd be an argument, major could use vouchers. How do you pay for that? Well, the tax study is to look at the existing tax structure, the distribution, and to make recommendations for other taxes. But it doesn't tie in to what the vision is. So I was not trying to be flip when I said I don't know what to expect. I just don't know what to expect.
Now, but do you think, do you think it's a good idea, though? Because, I mean, I've complained frequently in the past that we don't seem to have any idea where we're going, so how do we know how to get there? Doesn't it make a good idea to at least be thinking about what do we as a state want to have for our future? Do we want to have some of those areas where you talked about?
You know, Sam, I don't disagree with you. After you figure out what you're required to provide by law, both federal law and state law, okay? Because I know what I want. Question is, can I afford it? Would I have any income left? After I got through paying for what government requires me to have and what I want to have. And so I would have liked to have seen a study that looked more at what are the mandated requirements of services to be provided. How are they being provided revenue-wise? How are they being provided delivery-wise and satisfaction-wise? Since I'm mandated to provide the services by law and there are consequences for not doing it, then tell me if I have got a sufficient level of revenues and what my priorities should be, where I could cut or minimize that service level, and then let me look at the enhanced services if I have a surplus or the additional money or people are willing to vote themselves a tax increase. So that's kind of the problem I have with this.
Well, would one of those things be that at times when we have excess revenue, we wouldn't just go spend the money, but we would actually put it aside so that when we got to a situation, God forbid, that we've been experiencing, that we would actually have money to provide for that?
Sam, we have asked since 2000 to have any excess revenue that's projected by the Economic Forum in May not be spent for ongoing programs, to be used for infrastructure, to be used for technology, because we're behind in technology, which would help us get a bit more efficient, employee training on technology, to put a certain amount aside, and this is since 2005, to pay off the unfunded liabilities that we have with health care.
Carol, that seems like common sense. Why do you think they don't want to do this?
You've got the beginning title of my next Tax Topics newsletter is, you know, I'm going to say politics, and that's probably the wrong word to use, but people make demands. There are constituencies that want things. Legislators are elected. Elected officials at a local level, council people, supervisors, commissioners, are all elected. If there is a hue and cry for the public for something, we tend to want to respond and give the public what they want, good, bad, or indifferent. And I very seldom hear anybody say, okay, how is it going to impact the existing budget? What is it going to cost us to add this? Can we shift any other revenue sources to do this? Or have we got a program that we could feed this into with minimal cost impact? I'm sorry, those are discussions that somehow I miss because I'm not sure they're being held.
Now, are they being held? You're a member of the SAGE Commission, the Governor's Commission to look at state and government expenditures.
Yeah.
Is that something that you're looking at on SAGE?
We have been looking generally at efficiencies, and yes, we have looked at the money, we have looked at the technology, but you know, you're still up to, you can make the recommendation, the governor has to accept it, and if it requires legislative action, the legislature has to accept it. So, yeah, there are a number of recommendations being made. Will we get them all? Probably not. If the fundamental review is any history with Kenny Gwynne's commission, you had more recommendations that were not acted on than were, but at least we got some of them. Relative to the tax study, I really think we could have gone back, looked at the other tax studies, had some, I don't even know if we need an outside person to check mark off the recommendations and then go and say, okay, these are viable, these are what recommended, here's how we update them for today.
Well, and we, you know, one of the things, Price Waterhouse is the one that people like to
right.
always point to, and that was, help me if I'm wrong, 1989.
Right.
And they said we needed a broad-based business tax.
Mm-hmm.
In 2003, with the payroll tax, modified business tax, we got a broad-based business tax. But apparently that hasn't been enough. Do you think this study is going to try to drive towards a gross receipts tax or a business income tax?
No, the new wave of the future is this net receipts tax. We now have a number of scholars, both from conservative to liberal, and every color in between, saying corporate income tax is not the way to go. Income taxes are not the way to go. And yes, we got a broad-based business tax from your perception or my perception, but not from the perception of people who want to tax every business and capture income from outside the state.
Okay, let's take a break. More with Carol Velardo when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
It will be a short outing for this young right-hander as the manager heads to the mound. Uh-oh. I have never seen anything like this.
There's an easier way inside local sports. Las Vegas Review Journal. Get inside.
Retailers, businesses where all of us shop. Good for you and good for Nevada. We're the Retail Association of Nevada, working to strengthen the business environment for Nevada retailers. And that's good for you. Retailers create nearly 500,000 jobs for Nevadans, generated over $2 billion just in sales tax revenues in 1 year, provided nearly $700 million to help our schools, and built a $20 billion positive impact on our state's economy. Retail works for Nevada and works for you.
Thanks for your help, Don.
Sure, Mike. How's your construction business going?
It's really growing. How's your business going?
Well, ever since I opened the restaurant, I've been having trouble with my workers' comp program. Who handles your workers' comp?
Well, I use Pro Group Management. They really work with me.
Are they expensive?
Well, I've never had an increase in rates.
Whoa.
I'll get you the number. And thanks again, Don. I couldn't have done this without you.
Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, just 10 minutes east of Sparks. We're proud that Walmart and other Fortune 500 companies have chosen Tahoe Reno Industrial Center to relocate their businesses. We have sites from under 5 acres to well over 500 acres, and with all of the amenities that every successful corporation requires. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the largest industrial park in the world, and we're building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
As an employer, did you know you can be held liable for negligent hiring? A background screening by Employer Links can uncover criminal records, like alcohol and drug convictions. It can verify the applicant's education, driving records, and professional licenses. Employer Links can check civil records, registered sex offender records, and social security fraud. Hiring the right person shouldn't be a gamble. Call Employer Links. Employer Links, protecting your investment.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with the president of the Nevada Taxpayers Association, Carol Velardo. Okay, so folks in the governor's office are telling me that the gap is getting larger in terms of the revenue, the shortfall that we have. And, you know, we could be looking at a $3 billion hole going in.
You know, Sam, until I see first quarter numbers, the Economic Forum projected a very nominal increase. If memory serves me correctly, the increase in revenues for the year was roughly 5%. But the first quarter revenues in all of those discussions were down, and they were projected down almost 15%. We don't have the first quarter in. We don't have first quarter business tax. Now, do I think that there'll probably be a need for a special session because we'll be short? Yeah, I think we'll be short. Do I think we'll be short that much? I have no way of knowing. One quarter's revenue receipts, and that's the first fiscal quarter for our fiscal year, which ends October 30th, we're not going to know some of those numbers until the middle of November.
Carol, is there a better way to do it than the Economic Forum? I mean, they're trying to make a budget projection over 2 years, and I'm guessing that 5%, that's over a 5% growth, that's over the 2-year time.
No, that's this year.
That's this year.
That was for this fiscal year.
Do you think there's a better way of doing it?
No. I would not want to go back to the back way. And when I'm at conferences with my colleagues from other states, we have discussed forecasting. Forecasting is probably the most inexact science you can have. You know, it's the same thing
well,
like
Sam
the joke.
Well, Sam used to be a weatherman, so he knows that.
Yeah, I mean, put two economists in the same room and they're going to have differing views on what your investment portfolio should look like. One's going to want bonds, the other's going to want stocks. And so that's your problem with forecasting. You use historical data. And when you get an anomaly, such as we've had, against the historical data, you know, all bets are off with the forecast. On a long range length of time, number of years, the Economic Forum has done a much better job in forecasting than the system we used to have in place, which was kind of a battle between whose numbers you were going to use, the legislative analyst or the governor's analyst.
Let me ask you this. You were speaking the first segment about things that are federally mandated to make sure that we have these costs covered. If we do have that kind of shortfall coming up, going just ongoing, let alone going into the next session, what kind of things are the first things that crop up that that we're going to have to pay for, whether we like it or not?
Well, you've got your Medicaid requirements. Now, you can adjust Medicaid to the point where what your reimbursements are to doctors, but we're sitting with this whole unknown quantity of what healthcare is going to do and how they're going to try to capture lower income people. So without knowing those specifics, it's like, when are we going to come out of or when are we going to begin the recovery? And I don't know that for sure in Nevada. But you have issues on Medicaid, assuming everything remained normal, but the revenue just wasn't there. You probably would have to look at not necessarily the number of programs that are being provided, but at the levels you're providing all those programs. And some of those programs, if they're being extended at 300 or 400% of poverty level, or some of the other programs we have which aren't Medicaid programs but are in human services, then maybe we have to reduce that level and put a copay in that's on a sliding scale.
And just to explain that to people, Carol, those funds, they're usually matching. The federal government
normally,
will
yes.
match what the state spends.
Except the federal government also can change what they match.
And that's where we got to leave it on that happy note. Thank you so much for being here. We'll
Thank
be right
you.
Back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
South Reno's hotspot for food, fun, and friends is the Tamarack Junction. Enjoy great food 24 hours a day in the dining car restaurant. For a quick bite and the best sandwiches in town, it's the Whistle Stop Deli. And for the best appetizers and menu selections and a large variety of cocktails, beer, and martinis, it's Sully Sports Bar and Grill. The Tamarack Junction is your junction for fun, just north of the Summit Sierra on South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
Can I ask you a quick question?
Okay, but I'm in a hurry.
Not perfect. This is all about being rapid. What's your least favorite thing about your checkbook?
Well, that's easy. It has a zero balance, and I never have any checks.
Well, you're going to love this then. We can fix both those problems with the new Swipe and Go payday loan. Mm. You just swipe your debit card, you get the cash you need.
That does help, so I don't need a check to get a payday loan.
No. You just swipe and go.
He does that pretty well.
Not bad for having pause.
Rapid Cash, your cash right now.
Spend an evening with the most stirring and powerful blend of rock and classical music ever heard. Trans-Siberian Orchestra, live in concert. Friday, November 27th, two shows, 3 and 8 p.m. in the Reno Event Center. Critics have called it strikingly original, a timeless masterpiece, and breathtaking. This year, don't miss Trans-Siberian Orchestra, live. Two shows, Friday, November 27th in the Reno Event Center. Tickets are on sale now at LiveNation.com and the Reno Event Center. Get the long-awaited new double album, Night Castle, available for $10.99 at Amazon.com. Don't miss Trans-Siberian Orchestra, live.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, the fires are already lit at this table. We've got Bill Brainerd, community activist, Greg Crawford, managing partner at Sierra Nevada Wealth Management, and Chris Wicker, spokesman for the Washoe County Democratic Party. So kind of interesting. Somebody got a job. Brian Sandoval going to work for Jones Vargas. Chris, your thoughts on this?
Well, somebody asked me about that earlier, and I thought, well, Brian needs a job. I mean, I think it's that simple. He has to go to work for a firm that is involved in lobbying and government relations, because he needs a salary for the lead-up time when he runs for office, and there's only a couple of firms in the state, I think, that would take him on and pay him a salary. So I think he just needs to take care of his family.
Well, but isn't it so that you can actually take money from your campaign funds to pay you a living while you're running for an office?
There can certainly be an element of that, and that's probably part of his decision. But I agree with Chris. I mean, there were only a few firms that he could go to, and obviously that's a high-profile firm and a good move for him, I think.
It's a very good firm. It's got people like Raggio in it and, those kinds of folks. So it's a very good move for him, in my opinion.
All right. Interesting to see how Senator Ensign's situation continues to go along. And, you know, I kept thinking of, you know, how the end game occurs. And then we got the amount of money, Politico reporting, from Ben Spillman's column a couple of days ago, that he raised just $33,000 from July 1 to September 30, down from $301,000 unchanged that he raised during the previous quarter. Your thoughts on that?
Well, the sad news is apparently his parents are out. I think they didn't they send money to Harry Reid?
They maxed out to Senator Reid.
Yes.
Yeah, isn't that sad?
Well, yeah, in some ways it's not sad, because I think they're recognizing how important Harry Reid is to the state, and many Republicans have supported Senator Reid. I think it seems like Senator Ensign is on a downward spiral. I think that something else, another shoe is going to hit the floor from this lobbying that his cuckolded employee did. And I think we're not at the end yet, but he's still making national news, but not in a good way.
Actually, it was the husband, as I understand it, not the wife. It was. So I don't think he was cockled.
your thoughts on the finance? I'm more sure in the financing than I am in the details.
With money being the lifeblood of politics, it's a very bad sign. And I hope, frankly, on a personal level, he can sort his life out and, you know, fix the family situation and everything else. But from a political standpoint, it's a very dangerous sign for him.
Well, let me just say, I love the way he votes. It's too bad he doesn't live a better life.
Okay, and let's move on to the next topic. An editorial in the Las Vegas Review Journal talks about local autonomy. And, you know, we had the legislature raiding the local coffers, but they're not able to raise their own taxes if they want to without the permission of the legislature. What are your thoughts on home rule? And do you agree with the Review Journal's editorial position that this is actually dangerous for the politicians if they have to start raising the taxes locally?
I think it is, and I think it's a bad idea born out of desperation, because on the local level, the county and city, they provide absolutely critical day-to-day services and things that people need. And if you start raiding them and those services go away, or they have to figure out a way to raise taxes, then it's going to be bad for whoever caused that to happen. And it was a desperate measure, and hopefully it won't be repeated again.
Your thoughts?
Well, on a day-to-day basis, people interact with local governments more than anything else. People may worry about the national picture and the state-level picture and think about politics at that level, but really, we interact on a day-to-day basis with the local governments, and it's a big problem.
Well, you know, and I've talked to several people with the Nevada Association of Counties, and they're very concerned that they're going to get raided again come the next session or even in a special session.
Yeah, I was going to say, they already are raiding. It's only a question of the degree and how much more are they going to ask of the local governments?
Well, you know, with all the predictions that we have for what's going to happen, I think it will happen again unless it's something prevents it.
Well, one of the things that I was thinking about was that, you know, we certainly know what happens to poor people, the mentally ill, homeless kids in the state, but they really don't have the advocates. Even though there are people strongly advocating for them, they don't have the power. But if the counties and the cities start pointing out what is going to happen to the middle class if the coffers are raided, I think you'll have a much quicker response from the public.
Well, I Certainly, I agree. Of course, that's where all the taxes, almost all the taxes, come from, is the middle class. So, yeah, you stir us up. Hopefully, we'll do something about it.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen instances over the last 20, 30 years where certain police forces have gotten out of control at times in the state, and it wasn't until they messed with the middle-class kids that you saw a response from the general public.
You actually got pushback, yeah, and that's a great point you made, Sam. I mean, a lot of the most vulnerable people, you know, who are dependent on Medicaid or other state programs really don't have a voice, don't have a voting block, don't have an effective organization to advocate for them in the aggregate, and they're the ones that are cut first. But when it starts to impact, you know, people higher up the social economic ladder, that's where you see pushback.
You get the last word.
Well, I think one of the contributing factors is those people that take these no new taxes pledges, and you get them on a statewide level, and so they can steal money from the cities and counties and say, well, we're not raising taxes in doing so. So that's just another one of those dangers from taking these pledges, that I'm not going to do something without waiting to see what's really necessary.
Are you suggesting misdirection?
Yes.
And we'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
If you have back pain, arthritis, fibromyalgia, tendonitis, any kind of joint and muscle pain or stiffness at all, you finally have a safe, effective relief. Dr. Frank's homeopathic joint and muscle pain relief.
I had a lot of fear that I would be crippled at a very young age. It was a miracle that I found something safe and that had such dramatic pain relief.
Dr. Frank's is all natural. Just spray here and stop all your pain everywhere. For the first time ever, these 10 homeopathic ingredients have been combined in a revolutionary oral spray that stops inflammation, pain, and stiffness.
I pretty much quit tennis just because of the pounding. Since using this spray, my pain and tenderness and swelling and soreness and stiffness has gone.
If you have any kind of joint and muscle pain or stiffness, Dr. Frank's Joint and Muscle Pain Relief is the safe, all-natural relief you've been searching for.
I have no pain in my knees, no sciatica, and I'm pain-free.
I'm Dr. Ken Frank. I'm a medical doctor. There is a safe way to stop your pain, and I guarantee that your daily aches and pains, whether mild or severe, will stop or significantly decrease with this formula.
Start living your life pain-free. Try safe, effective Dr. Frank's risk-free. Call now and get a 200-spray trial bottle for only $19.95.
It was as though someone has given me an electric shock that went up the arm, and I could not do that. Now, I can't get that pain no matter how far I turn my arm. And now I'm playing tennis again.
Call now and spray away your pain in days. Call now for your risk-free trial bottle of Dr. Frank's Joint and Muscle Pain Relief. Ask how to double the supply for free. And also ask how to get for free Dr. Frank's 100-page book about natural and safe pain relief without drugs.
Call now. 1-800-572-9269. 1-800-572-9269. That's 1-800-572-9269.
Dr. Frank's Pain Relief really works.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. On the next broadcast, we'll take a look at Southeast Asian gaming with Martin Yan. We'll see you on the next broadcast. Thanks for watching and listening.